Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today, we are going to be talking about Lyme disease. So many people are having so many health issues for many decades now with the word Lyme disease. It takes on so many different forms. Physicians are baffled. Medical testing is picking it up and then not picking it up. Treatments and therapies, you could be going around and around in circles for decades. My guest today is Dr. Cass Ingram. He is the author of The Lyme Cure, which just recently came out, and he's going to be sharing about his personal experience with this disease and also about all the different types of therapies and treatments that are available. Dr. Cass, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
How are you doing over that way? You're tick-free?
Oh, I'll tell you. You know what? It's so funny, Dr. Cass, because I haven't been feeling well these past, few years. Not so great since Hurricane Katrina here. I live in New Orleans area. And then recently I'm going like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? My two shoulders are hurting and my jaw is hurting. And I'm going, oh, gosh, I'm not going to read down your list of symptoms because we will swear we all have everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If you have those symptoms, you are a candidate for Lyme.
Right. There's so many things out there. So many people have so many problems. And I think really when you have to look at Lyme is, of course, when you see the, residual, the tick around, or if you see the rash around immediately. But if you don't and you're really not getting health answers, I think that's where you've got to go, right?
Yeah. You know something? I just talked to a little lady that runs a health food store in Georgia, where they say there's not much Lyme disease. She said that not only does she think she has it, but four of her closest relatives have documented Lyme disease. I just called two health food stores in Pennsylvania, and I was telling them about my book, The Lyme Disease Cure, and each of the owners said, I have Lyme disease.
Oh, my goodness. It's getting to be crazy.
It's beyond comprehension.
Yes.
That we're talking millions of cases of Lyme in this country, and perhaps a million or two more cases this year if we don't do something about it.
Well, we've got 45 minutes of great talk we'll be doing today with Dr. Cass. Dr. Cass, I'm just going to ask this question real quick in the beginning, and then we'll start at the beginning of the story of your experience. But you know what? What I'm thinking, too, I have to ask. I grew up in Pennsylvania, 50s, 60s, early 70s. Then we went back there in the 80s, and we went back for 2 years, and then 2 years in the 90s. And really, when you think about it, you could have been bit then and really not had any symptoms, and then just your immune system wait until later, and then something could come up. Is that correct?
According to the Pennsylvania Department of Health, you raise a very important point. In 1960, there were, in all 67 counties, there were zero cases of Lyme. And zero Lyme ticks.
Yeah.
But now in every county, there's Lyme ticks and Lyme disease. You could have easily have been bit in the 90s and 80s when it was starting to become a predominant condition. And your symptoms are classical Lyme. Lyme, you see, the Lyme spirochete, and I'll be the first to publish this. I haven't published this particular thing yet. The Lyme spirochete prefers to live in the salivary glands in the early going, and from there it will attack the TMJ.
Ah.
It will attack the TMJ joint, and it will eat the cartilage out of the joint. It will attack the deltoids. It will attack the shoulders. It will eat the cartilage there. It bores into the cartilage. It attacks the large joints sometimes, the knee, and this type of thing. So, I think you must have Lyme.
Well, you know, and even as I said, you know, it could be residual and stayed there, and I just never noticed it. And, you know, over the decades, this last 10 years, you know, a lot of people have had a lot of significant stress factors, you know, with the economy, with work, with life, you know, and our world is really changing so fast. So that could really be throwing all of us, myself included, into this pot of all these things raising their hands. I like to think of, you know, Lyme disease as like the snake in the grass, you know. Hey, if you start cutting down the weeds, what do you think you're going to find, you know?
This is it. This is it. Now, the psychic stress will bring it on or it causes a relapse. But I'm suspicious with your having the soreness in the shoulders. If when you wake up, they're sore. That's a classical symptom of chronic Lyme.
Yeah.
And I think you have that.
And you know what was interesting I read in your list, too, is you wake up in the morning and your neck is stiff.
Yeah. No, that's not normal, and that's either chronic West Nile or chronic Lyme at this point. Now, we have good evidence that this is not a natural occurrence completely. In the entire history of North America, there's never been a West Nile virus, and there's never been a Burgdorferi spirochete known on this continent. So there is the plausibility that these are biological germs, and that would make it more disastrous, because if they altered the genetics, then the immune system wouldn't recognize it so well.
Right.
And that's the dilemma with Lyme, is that unless you have adjunctive treatment, unless you have something outside of the body that you take in or that you apply topically, you can't get rid of Lyme. The body has no defenses for this condition that I know of. I don't think you can just put your positive thinking hat on, get rid of it. That's not what I've been able to see.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed that. And you know what I can say is that, you know, in the 50s and 60s, we lived in the woods. I mean, that was just where our neighborhood was. I lived on the top of the mountain. And, you know, if you were going to school, you walked through the woods, you know. You lived in them. You know, so as you've said, you know, those years we were pretty much okay. I mean, we lived right on the top of the end of the Appalachian Trail, and it was like, wow, you know. And it was crazy.
Well, that's right.
And is different.
You know, for the last two or three centuries, the humankind has been throughout the Appalachian Mountains, and there's Rocky Mountain spotted fever from the rickettsial germ. That's been there since the native times, but no Lyme disease whatsoever until the late 60s, 70s. That coincides with, though this isn't our topic, it coincides with work in Plum Island, the bioresearch lab, or really bioweapons lab, where they were injecting ticks with genetically altered germs and then releasing them.
Wow.
Releasing them. And Old Lyme and Lyme, Connecticut, are only 10 miles to the south as the wind blows from Plum Island, whereas West Nile virus broke out in Staten Island, New York City area, and it's also only 10 miles from Plum Island. We know categorically that West Nile came from biological research. No one has been able to prove that Lyme arose from there. But I, after experiencing the infection, will tell you I believe it to be a biological germ or weapon.
Yes. You know, and I can also say that because, you know, I live in the New Orleans area, and just within this past several months, there's been a great deal of controversy because that's where they do it. One of the local colleges does a lot of what we will say is, I'm trying to use the words, they use work on animals, okay? And then the animals
veterinary
somehow
lab
escape.
And all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little bit more than that. And then one of the animals had escaped, and now the workers are sick. And it's like, well, okay then,
see,
you know?
But they do. There's these all these nefarious actions by the so-called federal government that have led to, and some of these releases have been purposeful. There was a malicious release by the espionage agencies. We don't need to give them by name. You know who they all are.
Right.
In Punta Gorda, Florida, which caused chronic fatigue syndrome. They had infected the mosquitoes maliciously with a pathogenic virus, and that virus was injected by the mosquitoes, and that was the beginning of chronic fatigue syndrome. So that's out of the box. Lyme is out of the box. West Nile's out of the box. You don't want to get any of these conditions. You want to know about prevention. But if you do get them, you've got to know about natural cures, because otherwise all you have is doxycycline. There's nothing for West Nile virus, nothing at all except natural.
Yeah, there really is, because all they'll do is they'll give you symptomatic treatment, you know. I can remember, I think it was maybe 8 years ago, I went through a period where I swore my head was going to explode. I mean, literally explode. And I remember, like, laying flat for like a year. I had such incredible pain in my head. And that's also in your book where you talk about some of your symptoms and different things. So can you share a little bit about your journey, how this all started?
Okay, I was in Wisconsin in the woods doing some research on natural cures. I was making an extract that's anti-tumor. That's my whole life, is to find some kind of cure and hunting around. And then I didn't take a precaution the last day. I didn't pull my socks over my pant leg. I hadn't seen any ticks, but I should know better. They're tiny, the nymphs.
Right.
I didn't wear light clothing that day. And I didn't use this herbal spray. At that time, it was called Herbal Bug X, and it's quite good. So I didn't put the Herbal Bug X on. I didn't do anything. And 10 days later, I'm burning up inside, and my head feels like it's going to explode. I can't get comfortable. I keep rubbing my forehead. Oh, my God, I don't know what's going on. I'm dying or something. And my spinal column felt quite full. There was no way to get comfortable. And then I'm burning up. My whole skin's burning. And I look at my ankle. I can't move it. And then from my ankle to my elbow, and from elbow to the shoulder. So I spun around in the mirror because I felt something on my back, and there it was. Not the tick, the bullseye rash. Tick was long gone. So I said, "You got Lyme." And I kept telling myself, because it was tough those first few days, "Doctor, it's for a reason. Don't get down on it. Don't be saying this or that. You should have, would have. It's got to be for a reason." Oh, my God. 2.5 years. 2.5 years of agony. And here I'm doing this tour. I wrote the book. You know, I'm back to 98%, but, oh, it wasn't easy.
It's a tough journey when we get these lessons, isn't it?
Oh, boy. Well, I suppose it's meant to be, because I'm one tough person, and I'm pretty rubbery, and I just I couldn't believe. I've never had any kind of a joint problem. I've been through football, wrestling, and I always had real tough sinews. And then to not – I was in a wheelchair twice, crutches and canes. Now, I've shucked all that, and I looked at this thing, and I said, "I've had it with you." And so I figured out a course and a natural cures plan, and I'm 95% better. Yeah.
Goodness. So don't you think that when someone says, you know, "I feel like I have Lyme," they go to the doctor, and the doctor's looking at you like you've got 10 heads on, you know? and they'll take their medical testing and it will show it or it won't show it, and you know how that goes. You know, they never do they do the right test, do they not? Patients are really at the risk of the doctor, quote, thinking he knows better. So
well,
a lot of
right.
patients have really gone by the wayside and not been helped all of these generations,
right.
I think. And I really think that's where we're at this point, don't you?
It is. It is. My estimation is that the Lyme incidence in the United States is probably around 20 million people. It's an awful
wow.
lot of people to be knocked down. And it could be as high as 30, 10% of the population. Now, look at you. Here's two of us.
Yeah.
8 years ago, what happened to you? You either got bit by a West Nile virus, but if this 8 years ago was in association with a trip to Pennsylvania, if it was within 4 or 5 months of being there during the spring or summer or fall, then you have to suspect that was a Lyme bacteria in your brain.
Well, you know what, too, is that when we had Hurricane Katrina, let me tell you, this: if you don't think that, that should be declared war zones half the time when those things happen, because all of the hospitals, all of the sewers, all of the everything was just in a muck, you know, and feet and feet of water. Everything just opened up its gullies and just shelled everything out. And, you know, animal things and grocery stores. Or if you think of everything and anything that you don't want to be around, that's
that was
in
a bad
it, where,
one, wasn't it?
It was,
yeah.
Right, it was all in the water. And with Hurricane Katrina, you know, I mean, then everything, quote, dried. Well, it's still there, people. When it dried, it went up in the air and you breathed it, or else you walked around in the dried earth after it.
You
could have
had
got
the amoeba. The amoeba
right. could
have got into you. Could have
had almost anything.
From the Katrina, some kind of parasite. And that could have, that's more likely even, if you, like I say, if you weren't associated with forest or scrub, then you have to think of some other infection. But in any case, that's why everybody needs to know the cure is in the cupboard, the Lyme disease
right.
cure. They need to know what in nature, and that brings us to what cured me. You know, if you can get cured of Lyme and become a functional person, you can cure anything. That's how I see it.
Well, let's talk for a second about supplements and different natural therapies and treatments, because we've spoken many times on this show before about the quality of things. You know, people will take a name and they'll say oil, and then they'll say, oh, I have oil in my dressing. And they'll say, oh, well, I can't have oil, so I don't drink
yeah.
the I don't use a dressing. But do they look at it? Is it corn oil or canola, or is it hemp oil? Or is
right.
it something else? Do you know what I'm saying? So people
yeah.
really don't even know that. And I think so, too. You know, you really have to talk about the quality of what the alternative therapies and treatments you're talking about really are about, the different parts of the plant, what percentage of the active ingredient is in there.
Well,
how
you sure
times,
have to know that with Lyme, you know,
because
you got to know what works.
You could take, you know, some people will say, oh, but I take vitamin C, I buy it at that big box place, you know, with the big W, you know, down the corner, because it's cheaper. And I'm like, well, okay, you can throw that away, you know, you can take
yeah,
that for
right.
20 years, and you might never get, you know,
oh,
what
agreed.
I give you in this vitamin C in this powder that you take a quarter of a teaspoon a day. So really,
yeah.
it's all about educating yourself, and I think people really need to understand and really start, you know, paying attention. It was a great thing that that happened in New York State about the supplements taking them off the shelf for some of them, because some of them, they're going to eventually pick it up that they're using the wrong parts of plants. And also, too, you know what, I really have to raise this banner loud and clear. People, do not grow this stuff in your backyard and start making your own medicine. You know, I mean, if you think you're going to go out and do what you do, and, hey, oh, well, I'll just buy some seeds off the Internet and I'll make my own medicine, don't do it.
Well, here's what we found. We found that actually that wild material from the, you know, like you say, you got to know kind of what you're doing in terms of finding
right.
a phytochemical. The remote wild, like, okay, let's say you heard dandelions are good for you. You pick some dandelions
right.
off the lawn. If it's close to a road, they have lead in them. They're not
right.
going to be therapeutic. So what I've specialized in is finding sources that go to the mountaintops or the remote forests, do the picking, and then make the final product. This kind of brings us to the first thing I used for a cure, which was oil of wild oregano.
Right,
oil
totally
of wild
different.
Oregano. Yeah, and oil of wild oregano from the mountaintops.
Right.
And not just any mountaintop, but from the mountaintops of Turkey and Greece, where it grows indigenously.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the original wild oregano that the villagers used to extract and also that they use for the spice trade.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I talking about this? Cinnamon, oregano, cloves, thyme, they are all germicides. Thymol is in the active ingredient of Lysol, kills 99.9% of the germs. I had a germ infection. I could either roll the dice and do the antibiotics and end up with chronic medical, or I could try something natural and have no consequences. If it didn't work, there are consequences, but if it did work, I'd be home free.
Right.
So I used the oil of oregano. I used something specifically called P73, which is 100% wild mountain material. And you know, I used large doses. The label claim says to take 2 drops a day. When I got frustrated with the lime, I dumped a whole bottle, 850 drops, into a glass of water. And I said, you know, I've had it with you. I can't stand you in my brain anymore.
Yes.
And I drank the thing, and I drank that for 4 days. That's what broke the back of the neurological Lyme, that big dose. I had no ill consequences. I didn't have a fever. I didn't have a breakout. It just stopped the symptoms. I call that a miracle.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
But you're right. If I would have bought some kind of cheesy, cheap oregano oil knockoff at GNC or something, whatever, and I might have got an upset stomach, and I said, oh, I don't want this anymore. And I'd be still
sick. And also, too, people get combination things. They say, oh, well, if one thing is good in it,
hello.
Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness. We are again talking with Dr. Cass Ingram. He is the author of the Lyme book, which is called The Lyme Disease Cure Book. And it is a great book, and I really encourage you to check it out. The link will be on the bottom of today's show page, where you'll be able to click and go directly to the website. So, Dr. Cass, let's again talk about Lyme disease. And, you know, when we're talking about the type of therapies and treatments, we say, you know, is it something that I can get at my local store? Hey, you know, it's really cheap on the internet, or, you know, they've got a lot of these multi-level stuff. Maybe I could sell it myself, you know, and we go, oh, my goodness gracious, you know. If you're really in such dire straits with your symptoms, you really need to be in dire straits with your therapies and treatments, correct?
Yeah, you should really check into it, because you're going to talk about hard-earned money and also the safety profile, which, of course, safety is a lot less of an issue with the common supplement than it is with the drugs and so on. But what's important here is that Lyme disease doesn't respond to very many things aggressively. In other words, there's not much out there that will start to knock it down and see, and where the person could see improvement. And I've listed those things in the book, but from personal experience, being that I had a very bad case of spirochete Lyme from a deer tick, the best thing is the oil of oregano. It has to be a high quality type. It should be the, you know, the edible mountain grown oregano. And, it should be something that you can take in large quantities without consequence. And there's only really one brand that meets that profile, that where they've tested it on animals, humans, and test tubes. It's called P73 Oreganol, and that's the stuff that saved my life. Just very simply, anybody could buy it. I'd like to see us frequent more of the mom and pop stores. You know the crisis there. I'd like to see us keep the private businesses in business. I really do. And so get some P73 oil, regular strength, or preferably super strength if you've got Lyme. Do what I did and start taking it as drops under the tongue or putting it in juice or water. I think I told the story with you before once that I actually took a whole bottle of this stuff, 1 ounce, dumped it in a glass of water, and guzzled it down for 4 days, and that's what destroyed the Lyme that was in my brain and spinal cord. I can guarantee you that that's what happened. Yeah, huge.
You know, a lot of times, too, people will say, well, my doctor said I have to just do one little part of it and go slow. Well, sometimes that's good for some things, but sometimes you just need to overwhelm it. You just need to say, like you said, you know, I'm done with this. It's got to go. And rather than if you're slowly giving yourself treatments and therapies and you're in this suboptimal or subtherapeutic range, you're not going to be able to ever kick it. It's just going to be it's sort of like riding the train, you know, with your horse. You know, a horse going alongside the train, they're going along at the same speed. So you'll never overwhelm it to stop the train. And then to be
well, that's the problem with these mutated and these multiform bacteria, isn't it? Because they have the ability to alter their mechanisms to the antibiotics, even to some of the natural things. They're mutating, they're moving around, they're changing to L forms or to cell wall deficiency, or, you know, these are technical, but they're quite, gives you an idea, or to biofilm, where they create this polysaccharide sticky layer around them, and and so you have to overwhelm them. Plus, when you talk about the spirochete, it's a corkscrew germ that bores into, and it's a slow grower. It's like tuberculosis that way. It slowly, methodically overwhelms the organism. So you're not going to get rid of it by taking 5 drops of oil of oregano. You're not going to get rid of it by taking a little bit of golden seal every day, 2 capsules or something, or echinacea, or vitamin C. Now, some people have come with good reports on teasel root, which I'm now experimenting with, and I found it to be good as well. But my objective, really, is to destroy all traces of the spirochete in my blood and in my organs, and that's what I was largely able to achieve.
And it's pretty tough. You know, sometimes we always say this with antibiotics is the antibiotic will kill the bacteria. So what it's doing is it's stopping it. But then it spews all of its toxins and all of its residual stuff, and that's left in your body. Now, you definitely also address that in your book about clearing up, what I like to say, clearing the terrain. Because, you know, you can always, you know, you could see roadkill on the side of the road, but until you pick it up, sweep it up, or do something else with it, it's still there.
Still going to rot. And that there's 2 issues with antibiotics. I rolled the dice in my case of a definite case of Lyme, and I decided to go with the natural. I could have taken the doxycycline. Who knows what would have happened? But the consequences always of doxycycline or other antibiotics for 90 days is you're going to get candida. It's categorical.
Right.
So I skipped the candida. I skipped the toxicity of a mold drug because antibiotics are largely mold drugs. And I skipped the urine, the kidney and liver consequences of tetracycline. I skipped out on that. And I got no negative consequences from my natural cures. It took a while, but at least I went from wheelchair twice. Everybody knows in Europe, I got bit by another tick there that same year. And I was in the wheelchair there. It was miserable. And I was stuck for 90 days. And it took 2 people to haul me to the toilet. I had to have, they put me a bed right next to the restroom. I was in a farmhouse at the time doing some research on nettles and doing some filming for YouTube. Anyway, so what did I do? I had no choice. I took the super strength and high dose. I consistently took it. I found out that wild oregano in a capsule, just the pulverized wild oregano with another herb called Rhus coriorea, I found that this complex helped eliminate the joint consequence of Lyme. It's called Oregamax capsules. So I started pounding that, 30 capsules a day. There's 90 in a bottle.
wow.
I started taking Oregaresp, R-E-S-P, Oregaresp, which is desiccated oregano, cumin, sage, and rosemary. And listen to this. There was a study done on cumin where they sprayed cumin at ticks, the nymphs and the larvae, and it destroyed all of them, wiped them all out. So there's something in cumin and sage that's anti-Lyme, and I made that discovery. So that Oregaresp, and then And then I got about 85% better. People, listen to me. I was wheelchair bound, and I have never been in a wheelchair or used a crutch in my life. I never had a joint problem, never had a bone problem. And so that last 20%, I made a discovery, honestly. I made a discovery. I found out that in addition to the cumin, this oregaris, there's something very special in sage and rosemary that's great for Lyme arthritis. Because there was a product put out on the market. These, by the way, these are all made by one company, which makes it easy, a very high-end company called North American Herb and Spice. So they made a substance called Bone Active. Bone Active capsules, Bone Active oil for osteoporosis, for regenerating the bones and stopping bone loss based on the science. And so, and I happen to be writing the book on that subject called The Bone Building Miracle. It's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking this Bone Active, and it destroyed the Lyme arthritis in my knee. I mean, it was so bad, I was unable to walk normally. I couldn't flex it. But when I took that, my flexion and extension came to normal in that knee. I'm very happy about that stuff. And I take it every day as a maintenance because you never know. Although I'm 95% better, this stuff is nasty. You know?
You know what you need to do, Dr. Cash? You need to get like a little box and put it outside and say, I'm going to put my lime in here, and you need to like bury it.
Yeah.
And you can say, I'm going to put it to rest. I'm done. It's okay. You can go now, right?
Yeah, you know, that does help, the big positive and constructive imaging. I'll do that, too. So
can
I really had a...
Can we talk a little bit about neurological Lyme? And then
Yes.
Because the neurology symptoms, I mean, are definitely issues, but also people come up with cardiac issues that, you know, they have no clue about. You know, you get these big bruiser people that swear nothing's ever wrong with them, and they're just going to power through it. And, hey, give them a few pain pills, they're good to go. And
Until
it hits them down, you know, several years later.
Okay. The neuroborreliosis is about 40% fatal, untreated, especially if it comes on before the antibiotics can kick in. I had neuroborreliosis. You may have had it. I don't know for sure what you had there. But the spirochete has a proclivity to eat brain cells. It eats them as fuel. It loves cholesterol. And so it's chewing away at the brain cells, causing them to die. And if you don't get in there and destroy it, you're going to have problems. You could have MS. You could have Lou Gehrig's. You could end up with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, a tremor, this type of thing, chronic headaches. That's neurological Lyme. And so that was the easiest part to kill. The super strength oregano oil, the juice of oregano, the oregaris, they rooted that out. I never had a relapse in that department. Where I found it, that it was difficult to put the lime in a box and for it to just go away without something else, was in the joints. You know, it bores in there, and you've got to somehow eradicate that. Now, in the heart, the same thing. It can bore into the heart muscle. And if you don't get them out of there, what happens is they end up with heart block, arrhythmia, and they drop dead. There was a guy in Massachusetts out in his garden, dropped dead. They did an autopsy. They found the heart was full of spirochetes, Lyme spirochetes. Yeah.
And, you know, you don't find these things with regular medical testing either. I mean, you might start to see some shades of it on an MRI, I would believe. And you might
maybe, but not much out there that tests for Lyme, is there? A few blood tests and See, the problem is the
it's more once you see these symptoms, you know, I always like to teach people, stop looking for labels and just say, if I've got these symptoms, do the treatment.
That's what I would do.
Do it.
It can't go wrong with herbal medicine properly structured anyway. And what else is anybody going to do? They're going to put you on antibiotics for 6 months? So Lyme, to me, is a clinical and rule out diagnosis. You rule out everything else, then it's Lyme until proven otherwise. If you're in a tick zone, if you're not careful around nature, if you have dogs, if it came on in the spring, summer, early fall, there's not much disease that strikes in the spring, summer, and fall. So now here's the other interesting thing. What about preventing the miserable, wretched disease?
Oh yeah. you wish they were like they were glow in the dark or neon or something.
Yeah, it'd help a little bit. Why not follow my instructions on from now on forever and ever, since there are 20 to 30 million cases, and the United States will be closed for business if we get another 50 million Lyme cases.
Yeah.
But just wear the white. Get some white tennies, white socks or beige socks, and white pants or very, very light blue or something, and white shirt, and that's your apparel when you go out in the wilderness. Or if you're gardening and you pull the socks over, and then use my discovery. I mean, out of this strife comes good. I discovered the herbal Tic-X, right? You spray it on one side of the body like I did. If you want to do a double blind, no, I don't recommend that, but I did it. Here I am, the ex-Lyme guy. I sprayed it on one side of my body. I didn't spray the other. I went into the scrub so I could get some ticks. I put my video camera on. I didn't see any ticks. I get back in the car, and here it is, a tick crawling to my inguinal area.
Oh.
He's going fast. So I quick got the camera out, and I quick took some of that spray, and I sprayed a line of demarcation on my thigh. And I said, Mr. Tick, I don't think you're going to cross the line. And you know what he did? He turned around. That's that mind over matter, the affirmation, right? He turned around and went back down. He went all the way back in reverse. I never saw a tick go down. They're always crawling up on you. And so we should be using this herbal bug X for mosquitoes and the tick X for the ticks. I mean, we got to prevent these cases. Ugh.
You know what? And two, here's another thing, is that sometimes you can have them on you, but when you get into the car, you may not see them. They could residually be hanging out in that car, and then they'll just come back on you again.
They could be doing that. They could also be on your... Yeah, in the vehicle. I've seen people get ticks when they're riding on a long vacation because somebody brought one in. I've seen the tick likes to go on the back, you know, and you can't see it. He likes to go around the belt line. And I've also seen people get the ticks because the dog brought them in the house.
Right.
And then a tick crawls into bed with you.
Yeah.
So now we know with his herbal bug X or tick X, that this, with the juniper in there and the rosemary and the cumin and all that, that when you stick X on a dog, the dog doesn't bring any ticks home now.
Mm.
You see? So
that's
pretty big.
Yeah, that's, you know, so many of these people are putting all those chemicals on dogs, and the dogs are getting sick and ending up, why does the dog have diabetes or heart problems or this, that, or the other? All that chemicals and crap that you put on the dog, just as well as people, you know.
Goes into the heart and fatty muscle. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to keep pouring on us, still we be able to resist things, you know.
Or if the people get so sick of it, they start pouring pesticide on their lawns for the ticks,
right.
And then the dog rolls around or the kids, and then they end up with leukemia or some other sicko disease. But there you go.
So let's talk about for a minute about co-infections, because, you know, I always like to relate this topic to when you're eating chicken. Are you eating chicken? Oh, well, I know that the chicken probably just ate corn out in the pasture and, oh, it was okay. But really, where did that corn come from? What kind of conditions did it live in? Where did that corn? We can even go back further than that. You know,
that's
I think
it.
we don't go back far enough to say there's so many other possibilities. Stop looking at the end results and then, you know, oh, well, this is just a bug bite. No, it's not. Because when you look at the bug bite, you can talk about how that happened and where that bug was.
Well, okay, what's the life history of that tick? What's his family? His family included a rat and a mouse and a chipmunk and a skunk and a deer and a moose and or whatever and possum, and he's injecting all that sepsis into you. And here's the reason I took the oregano, and that's what I would recommend people. If you're going to try to follow my advice, do one of two things. Study the website, CassIngram.com, and make an intelligent decision. Don't buy anything. But if you're going to buy oregano oil, just buy the P73 so that you can get the edibility and long-term use. So what I did was I chose to kill the co-infections. Problem with the antibiotics, they just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had symptoms of babesia and also of Bartonella, so that's kind of why I went that route. And thankfully, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, there's when you think about it, that's generations of DNA stuff that you know that bug is carrying around. You know, and it's all of those mutations, as we've said. What is this tick going to be in the future? You know. Who has the mutations, you as a human or the bug and all the stuff it's carrying?
The bug's got the quick capacities to mutate, doesn't it? And as far as co-infections go, the babesia is a protozoa, and the fever and chills with that. Ehrlichia can be fatal, like Lyme. It can cause big elevations of the liver enzymes. Bartonella is cat scratch fever. Mycoplasma is intracellular. A lot of nasties. Powassan encephalitis is killing about one of three people it attacks. That's from raccoons and all that. That's what we're dealing with right now, is a multiplicity of germs. That's kind of why the oregano oil is an essential. If I had to put a kit together, an anti-tick kit together, I might have the book. I might not. Maybe you could just get the information off the website. But I would have a bottle of the wild oregano oil along with the Tick-X. The wild oregano oil will kill the tick. It will burn it and suffocate it. So if it's on, then you could pull it off with the tweezers that way, dead. So will the Tick-X. Unlike DEET, DEET's a repellent, won't kill the tick. The Tick-X, you saturate some cotton and hold it over that, and he's going to be dead on a doornail in no time.
Wow. And that's, that's really what you need, especially if you have children and animals. Well, it's not really anybody you could say doesn't need it. Everybody does. Because
Needs their herbal repellent. Nobody needs DEET if we can avoid it.
After the fact, then you've really got a problem. So,
big problem.
Everybody should have a kit, you know.
I would think, and I'm recommending that they have the oil of oregano and Oregamax at least, and be popping those on a daily basis to put some antisepsis and some immune potentiation. There was into the blood. There was a study done by Polish investigators. See, a lot of your listeners are going to be taking some herbal medicines and they're looking for sophisticated products or good products. But think of this. 35 of the most potent herbs known, only one dramatically induced the production of interferon from white blood cells, activating the immune system. Only one did it. It was wild oregano. It's the absolute most powerful immune potentiator known. You're not going to get a better upbeat immune system than if you're taking the wild oregano every day, which is why I stress the P73, because I know if a person listens to me and they have Lyme and they can tolerate it in their system, they could take 100 drops 4 times a day. But I have had people who take 5 drops of things like these, like Natural Factors and Source Naturals and all these people that don't know what they're doing, and they get sick from it. Whatever.
So... You know. What are you? So when you're saying let's start taking these things, we're not going to give out all of these ideas where people were diagnosing or treating. But what we're saying is you take it past the symptoms, past the time, and then you still keep taking a residual amount. Correct?
You should do that nowadays. You should do that with the risks of West Nile and with tick-borne illnesses. I really believe I need to write a separate book on preventing, because we should be taking I hate to give out brandings, but I have no choice. I want people to get the quality. They should be taking 2 Aregamax daily or 2 twice a day and 5 to 10 drops of the wild oregano oil, the P73, twice a day. If they could do it, and they could take 1 Aregarest twice a day, if they got a tick bite, I can tell you they're going to march through that thing much, much more readily. Make use of herbal repellents. Maybe you've got a better one that you like. And wear the protective clothing. Yeah.
And let's talk in closing a little bit about nutrients and the diet. Because I really
nutrients,
think that's
I would hit the, well, you have to avoid refined sugar. I would hit the natural vitamin C from Camu Camu. Try to get some B-complex in from Truly Yeast, Brewer's Yeast. There's a great product called Purely B out there. You can look that up on the net. So some B-complex. Vitamin A is important for the immune system. God knows. And that's hard to come by. So get your vitamin A-rich foods, vitamin D. These are the main things I've been suggesting.
We know
high protein. High protein is good for Lyme. Yeah, you want a high-protein diet.
Don't you think a lot of times, too, this is really what we should be eating or should be doing anyway? In other words, what you and I are both suggesting is that, yes, we should have low sugar. And, yes, we do need to put more protein. I see a lot of people doing a lot of the green drinks right now, and the protein is negate. It's not
negate.
There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not there.
No.
You look at it and you go, what's in that? And it's not in there at all.
I don't like that. As I think in the morning you should have high protein, not just the green chlorella spirulina. No, that's adjunctive. That's you take that in addition to take your 2 or 3 raw eggs, dump them in a blender with some high protein powder, even a good organic whey powder, or sprouted brown rice, something that's got some substance to it, hemp,
right.
Like you said.
Yeah.
I can't get over this green revolution. It's
The Green Revolution, I've said a lot of things about it, and I'm like, and I have a lot of people that I've known, you know, in the West Coast, and they're, well, they do it 3 times a day because they think, you know.
They're going to be too alkalotic, you see.
Right, and they're going to be so, in my thoughts, their thyroid's going to be in, you know, Waresville. And then even if you look at it, all the oxalates that have gotten so profoundly high in these people, they're saying my skin is hurting and stuff from all the oxalate crystals. So,
yeah,
you know,
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one.
Kicking herself off.
Well, yeah, it's a whole other subject because some people, like if you have low adrenaline, you're doing way too much potassium greens, you're going to be just somnolent, fatigued, and gone. So each body type's a little different. But look, it's if you want physical strength and stamina, you got to do a high protein diet. You're not going to get it any other way, and high fat too for satiety and for the blood sugar.
We constantly see these things, markers out there, you know, low fat, low sugar, you know, but they're saying they're not even really even thinking about what they're eating. Like I said, I grew up in the Northeast in the 50s and 60s, and our diet was all from local, you know, being in the mountains. They were all farmers. There wasn't grocery stores, you know, it was the butcher and the dairy. And if you just go back to eat like you maybe many decades ago, granted, it's not that great. And it's not that organic soil and everything, but just start to put a little bit of those things back in how you, quote, used to eat,
yeah.
And then start supplementing some.
Supplement it on top of that,
things.
Yeah.
But and
don't do pure veganism unless you are having to run through cancer and you need a cleanse. Don't do it forever and ever. You're going to have consequences.
Yeah, I think our body really has been, you know, we have to think about the generations. I mean, I'm Polish, Irish, and Lithuanian generations, you know. Well, hey, you know, we were all northern. We all grew up eating, you know, the root vegetables, and we ate meat. So you've got to sometimes honor that a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. The genetic part, too. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, great. I think we've certainly... Yeah, and go to CassIngram.com and at least study that. Study the protocols. Study the bone active, which is great for the Lyme joint, the Aregamax, the oil of oregano, Aregaras. And be sure not to get this thing. I mean, Do everything you can to take the preventive approach.
And even if you have any of the symptoms, hey, what's 6 months to give it a whirl and take all the stuff, right?
That's right. That's right. Stay the course. If you're going to do the oregano, make sure you do it for at least 90 days, maybe longer, until you get a big improvement.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Kass. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
Been my pleasure, too.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now.